Title of my message is The Work Will Go On. And this is a message I actually had prepared several weeks ago before the Q&A was given. And Mr. Mitchell did a Q&A this week, and it went right together with this message here, as if he took my notes and did a Q&A on it. Well, I'm going to take his notes from the Q&A and give this message here as well. But obviously that's something in common, and this goes very well in line with my topic. How do we relate to each other? I'm not talking about within the same bloodline, within the same family. But when someone goes through something specific, and we may have gone through the same thing, like a sickness, an accident, a failed marriage, a lost job, lost friends, opportunities that may have led to failure, a loss of a loved one. There is at least one of these I just listed where we can all relate. This is life. And we go through suffering. But do we continue to suffer where our lives are affected by having a negative attitude filled with doubt, filled with despair? Or should we not be focusing on what the future will bring? There are, in fact, positive things that we can all relate to. Our calling, our unified understanding, and yes, even our lives. There are many things that we all have in common, and we all have a common goal, which goes beyond our physical existence. Something we can all look forward to. All the negativity and all the hurt will come to an end. A life in a world that this world has never experienced before since the time of creation will be upon us again. But this time beyond the physical realm for God's chosen. And this is what we understand. And this alone should make us joyful. However, before that time comes, we have a job to do. In this week's Q&A, as mentioned, Cale Mitchell talked about the importance of, or why we have a conference every year. But he says in his Q&A, in July of this year, it will mark the 25th year of existence for the Church of the Eternal God. 25 years. While this is a good and impressive milestone, what is most important is that we continue doing the work of God with fervency and with zeal. Many people at the time when CEG was started stated that this organization would not last more than a few months. Yet, by the grace of God, we continue to operate, and God continues to help open doors for us to preach the gospel to the world. That is the main focus. Unity is something that we have particularly focused on throughout our years of existence, and that we continue to uphold in order to fulfill our part in God's work. We are anxious to maintain unity. He also points out in the Q&A, the unity that is shared between God, the Father, and Christ should be the same unity with which we operate. Christ said that his work must continue until he returns. Now, he quoted Ephesians 4, 11, verse 16, which I also did when I prepared this message. And I also would like to read that to validate my point. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11. And there's a reason why he quoted that scripture, as there is for me, and which we turn to often. He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It was the fullness the full measure of Christ that we're supposed to focus on, not man. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, something that we go through all the time on a daily basis. There's a lot of false teachers out there. There's a lot of false information out there. And that's where you have to be careful. That's where you have to be vigilant on where to follow. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head of Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body and for the edifying of itself in love. The work that we are doing involves unity, spiritual maturity, and spreading the good news, the gospel message, the whole point of why we are in existence and what we're supposed to be doing. Mr. Mitchell also, quoting from the Q&A, says, while the ministry continues to carry out its responsibilities, that's not the only thing here. That's the one part. He says the membership also has a responsibility to grow spiritually, and it's together. The church should be growing and maturing as one unified body. Now, as I mentioned in this week's editorial about our responsibility, we have an individual responsibility to respond to God's calling. And with expectation and faith, for he has called each and every one of us for a reason. It's not coincidence. It's not happen chance. There is a reason he called us. Because he wants to fulfill a plan he has for us. And we have a work to do. And God will look at the work that we are doing. I ask a question. Are we fulfilling his plan? Now, we each have various talents that differ from one another. But when we combine all our talents together, much can be accomplished. And we have a lot of workers within the church doing this, but without their help, we cannot get things done. It's why we need help from all of us to continue doing the work. The parable of the minas in Luke 19 exemplifies this quite well. And actually, I would like to read that. In Luke 19, verse 11. And Christ gave a lot of parables in his lifetime when he was on earth, and for very good reason. They all had meaning for something. Verse 11, we read Luke 19, verse 11. Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. And that's interesting because at that time, a lot of people thought that. And then look what happened. A lot of people then left, you know, through everything that was going on. And who knows? Is that the same thing that's going on today? You know, we hear about, oh, Christ is coming back soon. And then what exactly does that mean? But there were times throughout history, recent history here, where things were developing in a way which we thought the end is really now coming. And then it didn't. And then look what happened. People didn't want to stick around for that anymore. They didn't have the patience to wait anymore. But notice what he says. Therefore, he said, verse 12, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. It was an ongoing work that had to be fulfilled. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Nope, they want to do it their way. Verse 15, so it was that when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. So Christ was observant, is what he's saying here. I mean, being observant of what kind of work was being done, because an accounting will take place when he returns. Verse 16, Then came the first, saying, Master, your mina has earned 10 minas. He said to him, Well done, good servant, because you were faithful in a very little, have authority over 10 cities. He obviously overcame. And based on the work that he was doing, he was rewarded for that. Verse 18, after the second came, saying, Master, your mina has earned 5 minas. Likewise, he said to him, You also be over 5 cities. A little bit less than the first one, but still according to the work that they were doing. Verse 20, then another came, saying, Master, here's your mina, which I have kept put away in a handkerchief. For I feared you, because you are an austere man, or a severe man, or... Right. You can collect what you did not deposit and reap what you did not sow. He wasn't willing to change, or was not willing to have God change him. And so verse 22, he said to him, Out of your own mouth, I will judge you, you wicked servant. You knew that I was an austere man or severe man, collecting what I did not deposit and reaping what I did not sow. Why then did you not put away the money in the bank, that at my coming I might have collected it with interest? So the work that he was doing, or what was offered to him, there was no fruit behind it. There was nothing that he did to further on like the work he was doing. So obviously God expects something to be done. He said to those who stood by in verse 24, Take the mina from him, and give it to him who has 10 minas. Verse 26, For I say to you that everyone who has will be given, and from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. There is nothing for granted, even in our calling, because we have a work to do. God will look at us individually to see how we have done. And 2 Corinthians 5:10 says that we will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And God is interested in each of us individually, in how we have lived our lives, and in whether or not we are counted worthy to be a part of his family. And I ask a question, the editorial, does God count us worthy enough to be in his family? I state further, we need to concentrate on how we are going to make it, since each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. We have to look at ourselves. Who cares what other people are doing out there? You know, oh, this so-and-so is doing. No, you got to concentrate on yourself. Romans 14:12. I conclude by saying, when God specifically commands what we are to do, he expects us to obey. And those who choose to reject the truth of God are without excuse, as Romans 1:20 points out. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. What is it that we need to do? We must do what we need to do and continue to fulfill our responsibility. And God will see to it that the work will go on.